As you probably know, the traditional color for the season of Advent is the penitential color purple. We, like many other churches, have gone to the color blue in order to distinguish this season of Advent from the season of Lent. It doesn't change that the texts and the hymns of this season continue to point us to our coming Savior. They continue to cause us to ponder our sinful nature, the things that we have done wrong, and cause us to look forward to this Savior, Jesus Christ, that in repentance we may receive the forgiveness of sins. Today there has been a change in our sanctuary. It's not overly dramatic, but it is a change nonetheless. Did you notice that the third candle in the Advent wreath is pink instead of blue? Do you know why we light a pink candle instead of a blue one on this third Sunday of Advent? Do you know why we light Advent candles at all? We light Advent candles to show that Christ has come into the world as the light of the world. Each week we light another candle and the light increases. The anticipation rises a bit more, for in just 2 more weeks, all of the candles will be lit, including the Paschal or Christ candle in the center. Today, though, we light the pink candle because as we travel through this season of Advent with its anticipation, we have heard about John the Baptist, who comes to us proclaiming who this King of Light is, showing us who the Savior of the nations is, the one who has brought peace and light into the world, and we are filled with joy. This third candle, the pink one, is there because of the joy we have at learning of this Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who has been revealed to us. The collects for the first, second, and fourth Sundays of Advent all begin, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come among us with your grace." But like the pink candle, which is different today, so the collect for this third Sunday of Advent is different as well. It reminds us that something different has happened today. It reminds us that the proclamation of the word that John the Baptist brought with him when he came out of the wilderness, baptizing and preaching in Jesus' name, preparing the way for the one who was to come, it reminds us that that's still happening as baptisms occur and as Christ's body and blood are distributed and as the word of God is again proclaimed. This is the message of joy that was to be for all people. The message of joy that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ no longer condemns you. But what joy can we really have during this penitential season? Sure, we can change the color away from purple and make it blue so that it's a little bit less like Lent than it used to be. But what joy can we really have as we are reminded of our sinful lives and of our need to repent? For there stands God's law before us, convicting us of our sins, saying, "Look at what you have done. You do not deserve to enter into God's kingdom. How dare you come into his house and approach his altar? You have no excuse. You have failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You have cursed and sworn and used the Lord's name in vain, all to your own dishonor and certainly not to his glory. We have all despised preaching and his word. We have not held it sacred. We do not gladly hear and learn it as he desires. Last of all, we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We certainly haven't put our neighbor's needs in front of our own needs. You know full well that when you fail at even one point of God's law, you have failed at the entire law. You know that the wages of sin is death. This cannot be changed. As we watch the snow pile up on our driveways and sidewalks, and wish that the warmth of the sun would come out and melt this snow away, we must be reminded of Job's words. Just as heat and drought snatch away the melted snow, so the grave snatches away those who have sinned. Since all of you believe God's word to be true, you know that the grave that is spoken of is for you because you have sinned. Whether that sin is a hidden sin that no one else knows about or an open and manifest sin that everyone can see, it does not matter. The wages of sin is death. God is not fooled. He is not mocked. We certainly cannot hide our sin from Him, and that sin earns damnation. It's pretty easy to look at our neighbor and to pick out their sins. Pretty easy to point out where they have been hypocrites. But it's not so easy to see that sin in ourselves, is it? The devil certainly wants us to be able to look at our neighbor and see that speck in his eye, but he causes us to be blind to the log that is in our own. He wants us to fool ourselves and think that we are without sin, to think that we have no need of the Savior. And in your sin, you are held captive and afflicted by the devil, the world, and your sinful nature. There can be no comfort when you compare yourselves to others. There is no reprieve in anything that this world has to offer. Certainly, some people seek assurance or comfort in food and in clothing and in goods and services, in money and possessions, in reputation, in children or in family. But in none of these things can redeem you from your sin and from the eternal punishment that you have earned. In fact, looking for salvation and peace in any of those worldly things only leads you deeper into sin and despair. Luther says, you can comfort a greedy person with money, an ill person with medicine, a beggar with a slice of bread, but nothing helps the Christian. Nothing, that is, except Jesus Christ, the one who, as the text clearly says, was anointed to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the prisoners, and to comfort all those who mourn. We Christians have a greater grace, help, and comfort than food, drink, money, shoes, a healthy body, or any of those things can offer. We must be able to sing the words, He's by our side upon the plain, with His good gifts and Spirit, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. And not just sing them, but believe them to be true in Jesus Christ. Let the world and the devil take away everything. He has gained nothing, and you have lost nothing. For the kingdom is still yours. A Christian has no joy or trust except when we hear that God the Father has wiped out our sins by sending His own perfect Son to die in our place. Jesus Christ has satisfied God's wrath. He has taken away eternal death and damnation, and He will raise us from the dead on the last day with all believers and take us to be with Him in paradise. That is the comfort and joy that we have through Jesus Christ. Satan is overcome. Death is strangled. Sins, no matter how great they are wiped away. Hell is destroyed and our guilt is paid for. That is the everlasting joy that belongs to each of you. For as the text says, you have received a double portion of God's grace, rather than the shame and humiliation that you deserve because of your sin. The text says that in spite of your sinfulness, God is faithful to His promise and he has brought forth his seed by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the man Christ Jesus, who has been anointed to preach the good news to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted. The writer to the Hebrews also talks about the freedom and joy that we have because the fear of death has been removed. He says, just as the children have flesh and blood, Christ also has become entirely the same. By death, he has taken away the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and he has freed those who were slaves their whole lives because of the fear of death. Christ has removed the fear of death and therefore our slavery to sin and death. You have been set free from the chains of sin and death. You have become a new creation in body and blood. You have been dressed in a robe of righteousness, just like at the baptism this morning, through your own baptism. You have been clothed with a garment of salvation that will never wear out, and that even the devil in all of his rage cannot take away from you. This is the good news of the gospel, the proclamation of the year of our Lord's favor, a year that has no ending in Jesus Christ. In this beautiful gospel, your sins are forgiven, your offenses are removed, the crushing weight of the law has been lifted, your shackles have been broken off of your arms. You are free. Your sins, along with your neighbor's sins, have been totally removed in Jesus Christ. Let us then rejoice and be glad that we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that we are one body with Christ as our head. In the midst of our personal and congregational struggles each and every day, let us be joyful together that our salvation has come in Jesus Christ, and that we are a people that the Lord has richly blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.